Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there are plenty of teams that are on the move all around the NBA. I mean, I wish the Lakers could be doing more, but look, that's beside the point. And as we head closer to the All-Star Weekend, we'll look into that and we'll break it all down, as well as the state of the Clippers with Clutch Point beat writer Tomer Azarli on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties.
Oh.
Hey, when you say the NBA teams are on the move, do you just mean they're moving around on the court? Because that's definitely true.
They're making moves. They're making moves up and down the standings. I'm feeling bad. We're static. I feel like we're stagnant. Others, there's movement. But yes.
Because there's also, they have away games, so they have to travel to those, which involves movement.
Hey, they're moving. These crazy guys are moving all around the country. We'll see where they end up next.
It's pretty wild.
LA Lakers are in New York? The heck is that about? But yes, to welcome our guest, Tomer Azarli. Welcome, man. Thank you for joining us on
Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing it. It's a lifelong NBA hoops head, man without a country a little bit, but you kind of pulled for the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, if I'll be honest, I'm a lifelong Bron guy. I mean, I grew up watching him, so that's kind of my guy. I mean, yeah, again, like I said, I just... kind of just didn't want to root for the team that everyone was rooting for growing up here in LA. Everyone was going for the Lakers. It seemed too easy for them at the time. You know, 03, 02, they were just winning championships left and right. It's like too easy. So I said, let's make life hell. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Just make life absolute hell. And I mean, yeah, I've been covering the Clippers now for about 7 years. I mean, also games were more affordable to go to, honestly. Oh, yeah. So it's easier to get into the team and into the sport that way. So. Yeah, I've covered them 7 years now, and it's been a blast. I love it, honestly.
Yeah.
Has it been painful for you since, like, being split allegiance with LeBron on the Lakers now?
No, I mean, honestly, the first 2 years were you know, there's a lot of, you know, being starstruck and learning the way of how things go. But it's been, I think I'm pretty objective now. I'm just a basketball fan, to be honest with you. And, you know, I did get to interview LeBron for the first time last year, and that was one of the, you know, I hadn't been starstruck in a long time until I asked him a question. I was like, oh, I'm asking Bron a question. That's the guy I watched growing up, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And now I'm asking him a question. So
you hear his voice come out of his head and you're like, that's LeBron James's voice coming out.
And
of-
I'm talking to that voice.
And let me tell you, the aunts and uncles who see that, and, you know, the parents obviously got to post that on Facebook and let the family members know. So
the full back tattoo of that moment that you went and got right after.
Embedded in history. But no, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty objective now. I'm just a general basketball fan. I like watching, you know, I'll watch hoops 24/7. I got League Pass. My TV's on NBA TV when there's no games on. So I'm just a hoops head at this point.
Who's your, like, okay, if you, you know, as a fan, what's like the next team you're like, I really like what I'm seeing out of them?
I really like the Thunder, for one, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
I'm a big Sacramento guy ever since they had DeMarcus Cousins. I really just rooted for him and the Kings because they had such a passionate fan base, but really never felt like they can get over the hump. So, like, yeah. I remember this year on one of our pods, I predicted they were going to make the playoffs, not even be a play-in team, and I got laughed at. So, wow. I'm definitely enjoying this. And for the Kings, the Thunder, I would say, I think those are my two teams. I always like watching Damian Lillard. He's fun to watch.
You know, he's been really fun to watch lately. Yeah, I love watching Dame when he is like just has it going, and you know it's going in before it even leaves his hand.
When he's stepping into those 35 footers, you just got a good feeling about those. The confidence and the swagger he pulls up, he walks into those. Just like
it's almost like
I think that's going in.
Yeah, and like the slower he moves, you're like, oh, I just know by how slow he's moving, this is going in because he's just like, I'm just seeing the matrix and just moving within it. And you're like, there it goes.
Yep, man's at his own pace and pulls up to 35 and hits it.
Things are slowing down so much for him that they slow down for us watching him. It's like, wait, what? How does that
time's work? Dilating for me as well on a Twitter video clip? How?
I mean, that's real with Luka. We're going to talk about some Luka performances, but man, he seems to be moving. I feel like that would be a very frustrating person to guard if I were an NBA player and just seeing him do things in slow motion.
It really is so casual and so just feels effortless for him. It's amazing.
That's what I think is so it draws me in because I think it because he's so slow moving, not like in a bad way, like he moves at the speed he needs to. It just underlines his like mastery of shooting too. That you're like, you can't. He's like the old wise man on the mountain, basically.
I always think of him as like very quick though. Are you talking about like his step backs and like
he has a casualness to his shooting that I mean like that's what I mean like not slow but like he doesn't feel like he's frantic when he shoots. He's so calm and collected that it feels like it's slow. Like he's like, "Yeah, man, I got this."
Right.
Just confident it's not going to get blocked. Whereas if I was shooting and somebody's within 4 feet of me, I would close my eyes and turn my face away before I release the ball because I would be so certain that I was about to get sent. I was noticing that with Chris Middleton too. I was watching the Bucks Pelicans game and he shoots the most contested shots. Like he is just like, it doesn't matter. He will shoot when you have your hand in his face and aren't like moving anywhere. He'll still put it up.
He's like, thank you.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah, and they're two of the best shooters in the league. So
I mean, speaking of shooters, let's talk about the Clippers, the best 3-point shooting road team out there. I witnessed that recently when the Lakers played the Clippers. Oh, I just remember a certain point. I was like, they're shooting 65% from three.
I
turned into a husk of a man and I blew away in the wind in 1,000 pieces because I was so destroyed by that. Like every single thing was dropping. Like, how are you feeling? I mean, like. Y'all are cooking right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, the biggest thing for them, I've said this for a while, is just they've got to stay healthy. They're going to be a contender if they stay healthy. Their problem is they just can't put together more than 4, 5, 6 games fully healthy. I mean, at the halfway point of the season, I think they played 4 games fully healthy total, none of them consecutive. And 2 of those games saw Kawhi coming off the bench, which, like Ty Lue said, it was disgusting and nasty is the word he used. And Kawhi was like, no, that was killed immediately. So, like, I don't even know if you really count those. I mean, if they stay healthy, I still think they need a backup center. I think at the start of the year, I even thought they needed one just to, you know, give Ivica Zubac some rest and not have to play him 40 minutes a night some nights. But if they stay healthy, they'll be okay. I think they got a really good, you know, nucleus here, a good core, good offensively. I think they're the best defensive team in the West, and I think they're third overall, I want to say, in like defensive rating. So they're up there. They're up there right now. They just got to string games together. Stay healthy. There's no back-to-backs here until after the All-Star break. I think like March 2nd and 3rd. So they got a good stretch here to put some good games together. I think the next 10 or 11, I believe it is, and really stay healthy and put together some wins and see what they can do, really.
Yeah. And like with the trades, like, you know, the rumors, you know, there's a lot of Fred VanVleet talk. But it sounds like you more like you got your eye on Mason Plumlee, maybe.
Yeah.
You think of, like, how do you feel? Because I feel like those are the two rumors I've heard a lot about, like, swirling around the Clippers.
I mean, I think there was a lot of Miles Turner buzz for one. But I think that was with a lot of teams. Yeah. Mason Plumlee is obviously a guy who he's having a career year right now. I think he's averaging 16 and 11 in January quietly because Charlotte is awful and no one watches them. Isaiah Hartenstein, their former player, who was there last year, he's another option. I think the Knicks are obviously playing him more now because of the injury to Mitchell Robinson, but he's the guy who I think was on the radar. Ty Lue knows how to use him. I can't say he's being used to perfection in New York under Tom Thibodeau. So I think that's another option as well. And I think there's different guys around the league, whether it might be like a 10-day type of guy or a, I think they have a trade exception still available, so they can also absorb someone into that. I believe it's about 8 or 9 million. So there's options out there. It's just with the Clippers, you almost never see the deal that's rumored done. Like last year with Norman Powell and Robert Covington, that came out of left field. I don't even think people knew that Norman Powell was available. You know, the year before that, I think they traded Lou Williams. That was the only one that I felt like it could happen. But even, you know, going years before that, you had the Blake Griffin trade, you had the Tobias Harris trade to Philly. So like, there's a bunch of things around that. But whatever's rumored usually isn't what ends up happening. So they kind of work in silence. My kind of opinion on it is anything you hear might be other teams leaking it, because it's certainly not coming from them. You know, they're maybe trying to get some leverage or trying to get other teams involved or something like that. So the one thing I've learned, this team really doesn't leak, and anything you hear probably is from another team with a specific angle. So you mentioned Fred VanVleet. I'm not really sure that a point guard is what they need. I mean, they went out this past offseason, got John Wall, who played 40 games in about 3 years. Look, he's been solid, but again, a guy who hasn't played 3 years, a guy who's a former star acclimating to a bench role, playing limited minutes, that's not easy. It's not easy at all. So they've had to, it's been a process getting him acclimated. And, you know, he started the season off well, then had a rough stretch here, was playing well before he got injured. So, you know, it's a long season, a lot of ups and downs. I don't personally feel a point guard is what they need right now. I never really felt that way. Right. Because you have a guy like Terrence Mann who can, you know, be your Swiss Army knife and play your point guard, play your shooting guard, play your three or four. You have Reggie Jackson, obviously. So I felt like they had the pieces of Fred VanVleet. I mean, unless you're trying to construct the 2019 Raptors all over again. I could see it. I don't think it'll hurt because there was a stretch where they lost about six in a row and I think 8 of 10 or 8 of 12, and it was looking bleak. It was looking really bad. So, you know, when you win, things look better.
Yeah. Has Fred VanVleet like had a bad season or something? Because it does feel like people are like, yeah, you got to get rid of Fred VanVleet.
Prior to January, he was struggling quite a bit, I would say, with the shooting. And I think he was doing a bit more off the ball stuff. Yeah. Which I think he kind of attributed to a slow start. Obviously, you got Scottie Barnes and OG, so they all got to handle the ball. That being said, Fred VanVleet is a really, really good player. The thing is, anyone on the Raptors, this is you know, I've talked about this with some guys, like anyone in the Raptors is going to have a heavy, heavy, like, medical history. And they've been playing like 40 minutes a night. If you look at the minutes per game for these guys, it's like Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet are near the top every year for the past like 4 years. So you get these guys. They have history, man. You got to be careful. You can't be playing them what the Raptors are playing them because they're going to break down. And I think that's a bit of the worry. You got to pay these guys. What are you going to have to trade to get those guys? And what does their history look like?
Yeah.
All that has to factor into it. And you have to worry about team chemistry. A guy like Reggie Jackson, you know, when he wasn't playing a few games ago with John Wall in the rotation, he was a little frustrated and it showed. So you don't want to mess with team chemistry at the same time. There's a lot of things to balance. There's just so many things to balance.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess we can look forward to being surprised by it being none of these things and being something that totally takes us by surprise, because a lot of people don't know this, but the Lil Wayne line, "Real G's Move in Silence like lasagna, was about Lawrence Frank. Like he's on the record saying that that's about Lawrence Frank.
I think the real bar was Lawrence Frank moves in silence. Then he did the bar didn't actually work out, but he really wanted to underline that moment.
I thought it was about Jerry West. He was a consultant and really, you know, worked his magic. That's what I thought it was.
We'll have to ask.
Also, just the idea of having somebody who can shoot, who has playoff experience, finals experience, like Fred VanVleet, just really, really appeals to me as a Sixers fan, because I don't know, man. The Sixers are putting something together. They've won 7 of their last 8. The Magic are unbeatable giant killers, but I still... Yeah.
The Celtics. Sure. Look, whose door do they knock on next? It's like that Grim Reaper meme.
The Sixers had a huge win this week against the Nuggets, top team in the West, MVP leader, Jokic. Everybody's like, he's locking it up for a third year in a row. And then Embiid, you know, dominated him.
Mm-hmm. Or as Bill Simmons said, he grabbed the race by the you know what's.
Yeah, I don't acknowledge.
He's trying to curse y'all with that.
I mean, we know that he believes in like reverse jinx, and this is the reverse jinx, and he's clearly trying to get Embiid, you know, have him have a bad run here. But I don't know. I still. All the playoff talk is like, I need to see, I don't know, we still rely on two players who haven't done it in the playoffs. And Embiid, it's been really bad luck with like his face repeatedly getting broken. Right. But with Harden, I don't know, man.
I'm a believer in the Sixers. I'm a believer in them. Absolutely. I think they got to figure it out right now. I mean, obviously that loss to the Magic isn't working well, but Tyrese Maxey's been fantastic for them now that he's healthy. James Harden is looking like a legit point guard. I think he's averaging like 20 and 10 very, very quietly this year. Yeah. I don't think people have talked about him enough.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris has been solid, gotten better as a defender. So like their top four might be the best top four in the league.
But Omer, do they go past the second round?
That's the question.
That's the question.
It's all luck, man. It's all, I mean, right. who did they lose to last year?
The Heat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of luck, a lot of matchup-based, you know, situations, but...
And Embiid's face was broken at the beginning of that and missed games, we heard. Came in out of shape, and it's a bad run.
Tough.
Yeah, that was tough.
You stay healthy. You got PJ Tucker on your team this year. Another year under Tyrese Maxey's belt, another year under, you know, James, and James had a training camp with Embiid this year. They you know, forming a good 1-2 punch here. So I can see it, man. I really can. I thought... The thing with the Celtics for me was like last year they were clearly the better team in the finals until the Warriors just found what worked for them defensively.
Right.
Like the Celtics could not capitalize on their athleticism. And I worry about that happening again over the course of a series where a team will be able to figure them out. So like that's why I'm don't get me wrong. They're still the favorites in the East, but I could see Philly making a run for sure. I could see Milwaukee making a run for sure. Like, I don't think it's that clear cut right now.
Milwaukee looks really good to me. Have you seen the Giannis? Giannis? Yeah, Giannis. he's really, when he's got it going, he's as dominant as anyone.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I just wanted to mention the Sixers because I know our listeners are like, you guys don't talk about Embiid. You don't talk about the Sixers enough. So I had to mention it real quick.
I had to just mention it.
You know what's funny? I actually, when they played the Clippers here a couple of weeks ago, I asked them about like the rising European players. Like the four best players are international right now.
Yeah.
And he cut me off and he goes, but who's the best player? I was like, I just said four of the five are the best. They go, yeah, but who's the best player then? And I'm like,
no.
I want the best players international. And he goes, okay, I'll take that. So,
okay.
Wait, you asked Embiid?
Yeah, I asked Embiid that post game. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but I'm better than them.
I'm good.
He wanted me to say whether he was better than Jokic is basically what he was trying to say.
Interesting.
And I just went, I played safe. I was kind of a coward. I was like, the best player is international.
There you go.
Yeah, very coy. Don't give the child what he wants. You know?
He was trying, man. He was trying.
right. What did you think of the pleasantries exchange between Markel Fultz and like the team? And there was a nice back and forth I noticed, you know, like Embiid was like, you know, I think we gave up on him too early. Fultz was like, I really, you know, Philadelphia can be a tough city, but they showed me love. It was all good. How are you feeling around all that?
Markel Fultz and Jason Tatum are both very painful players for me to watch and contemplate because of the fact that I feel like Embiid has a couple chips if they make the right decision on that trade and don't do it and just take Jason Tatum at the 3 spot or, you know, whatever, or draft him first if they had to trade up for it. So I don't know. And then, you know, Ben Simmons, I find myself, the Sixers and the Nets played a really great competitive game, obviously without KD, but it was very fun. And I find myself still getting excited for when, like, Ben Simmons had the best quarter I think he's had this season, maybe in the third quarter, just being aggressive and getting into the paint. So I'm ruined by my history as a Sixers fan. I can't be objective, but
right.
You know, when they're playing mind games with Simmons, I'm like, well, you know, Fultz is the real reason we're all here. You understand?
right.
But anyways, I'm happy. I think it's all silly and everybody should be friendly.
Yeah. And it looks like, and yeah, not to say that there's any bad blood, because I feel like most Sixers fans enjoy seeing that he's getting on, you know, in Orlando, which is always nice to see.
Yeah.
For a moment there, before this podcast was out and Markelle Fultz was having trouble with the shooting, we were always like, what has to happen?
Well, it was, I did give him some pointers right after he was drafted and told him to, you know, work with a tennis ball and softball and
your old high school coach.
Yeah, my old high school coach gave him the shot doctor, TM. I do have a trademark next to that.
I love it.
Anyways, I am glad every time he's healthy and putting up some impressive stats, and he's really like a fun person to watch.
Yeah.
Should we take a break? Come back and talk about some movers and shakers?
Why not? As long as they're moving somewhere.
That's right.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I feel like we're starting to see things shape into a standings that I wouldn't have been shocked by, like at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pelicans, I mean, we did say the Pelicans were going to be good. I didn't necessarily think they were going to be at the top of the West like they were a couple weeks ago. They have since then gone 1-9 over the last 10. They're down to the 8th seed in a play-in spot. Pacers 1-9 over the last 10. And then the Wolves and Clippers, who I think we expected to be pretty solid this year, are 6-4 and 7-3. or the Clippers are 6-4, Wolves 7-3 over the last 10. Warriors are back in the 5 spot. I think the big surprise that, like, the team that everybody was, you know, expecting maybe to be contending, like, at best to be contending for a play-in spot, except for Tomer, the Kings.
Yeah.
Sacktown, like, there's...
Man, what would that bet have looked like?
I know. It would have been...
I'm pretty sure their over-under on wins was, like, 33 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're already at 28. Also,
like, not being in the playoffs since, what, like, 2006 or whatever?
Right. Wow. So they're in the 3 spot in the West with a 4-game lead in the loss column over the 4 seed. So they're, you know, they're solidly in there, but the Heat are now rising. Like, it really feels like the past couple weeks has been a reversion to the mean of, like, what people's expectations were heading into the season. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think you have to factor in, like, strength of schedule, guys are in and out. Like, that stuff matters. Yeah, I think the Clippers finished the first half of the season before the All-Star break playing the most games of any team in the league. I think it's like 61 or 62, somewhere like that. So,
oh wow,
yeah. In March they have like 4 different sets of 3 days off or 2 days off. They have a bunch of days off in March, so they got like a very front loaded schedule, and then like the second half is very, very light. I don't know why we call it second half. Just
right.
20 games left, but. They have a very, you know, lax second half. So I guess that all factors into it. You look at the rest days and who's in and out and all that. A lot of guys start the season hot and then kind of cool off. Like, I think the Blazers kind of started hot and they felt like they kind of peaked too early. So, you know, the Clippers are starting to play well. The Warriors are starting to play well. They're somehow back in the 5 seed after it felt like they were the 13th seed like a week and a half ago or something like that.
But it's so, all right. So close together out West, you know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I mean, the Lakers are, what are they, 13th right now? And they're 3 games out of the 16th. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's absolutely insane.
Oof. And then, yeah, even Memphis, too. They're starting to slip ever since that little showdown with Shannon Sharp went down. Feels like Ja hasn't quite found it. You know what I mean?
All right. We do want to, I think we've made a decision on who, mm-hmm. at least temporarily, gets our nickname. That we've been looking for the right candidate for business decision.
Mm-hmm. The business decision being what? How do we, and as we define a business decision on this show is?
Is somebody who is about to be on a poster and then makes the correct business decision to not contest the dunk and just get out of the way.
Do not engage.
As quickly as possible. Do not engage. Do not engage. and I think we have it.
It's from last season, but this does embody our definition of a business decision. You're going up, you realize, no, actually, I'm gonna sit in the no smoke section.
Yes,
in fact,
and it
the
is
way Neil
Frankie
just
smokes.
Puts his head down. The way he just puts his head down, I was like, nope.
Frankie Smoke said no smoke for me.
Yeah,
it's truly. So we'll link off to it in the footnotes of this episode. And on Twitter, Super Producer Jabari found this and linked off to it on Twitter. He did kindly contrast this with what I did in high school, which I went up against 7-footer Dan Gudzurek and tried to contest every dunk after he had dunked on me 13 times. I was like, this 14th one, this one
is
I'm going to stop
one.
Him. Yeah.
This is the one where my jumping skills exponentially increase.
Yes.
Wow. So you were kind of like a punch drunk boxer. Like, in
it was the Rocky one of getting dunked on. I was just punch drunk and still, you know, I thought I was going to get like style points or something. It was in this gym. There was like nobody there. And it was just me getting abused.
Well, look. And that's what it takes to make proper business decisions.
Yeah, that's why I admire this so much.
Tomer, you play ball. Like, you ever come across some moments like that? I mean, look, you know, egos aside, because this has been a touchy question we've realized on the internet. Nobody wanted to come and admit when they've had to. We put it to our listeners, like, hey, anybody else had some business decisions they had to make? And people were hitting us up in the DMs. And we're like, just reply to the tweet.
I mean, I've always been the type of guy who just, like, if I know the guy's trying to slam it, I'm just going to go for the arm as hard as I can. And so time I did get the arm. I did
like Jason Tatum. Sorry.
Block a dunk. Exactly. Yeah. I did block a dunk. Just got him here. And the next time he decided to use two hands. So.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
That's not fair. Did you tell him that's not fair as he was dunking it over you with two hands? Hey, no fair, no fair.
You look at the ref. You look at the ref after. Oh, ref, no fair, man, no fair.
Fair. He used two hands on that one.
Yeah. So ever since I got two hand dunked on in high school, it's just not worth it. Just not worth it. If I think I can go for the arm, I would do it. Other than that, I'm just, it's not worth it. And the older I got, the more I'm like, well, it's just a game. I don't need to get dunked on. I don't need to take a charge here or you know, contest this shot here. Go ahead, have your highlight. I'm just gonna go back down and try to, you know, get to the bucket or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have a bruised ego at that point. So it's just a win-win at that point. You get to dunk. I don't have a bruised ego. We're okay.
We all win.
I do want to say just the technique he uses, Frankie Ntilikina, in this, is so he jumps, but his body, like, so his legs jump thinking I've got to contest this because I'm the defender in an NBA basketball game. But like, you can see as like the signal from his brain travels down his body to like recognize like, oh, I'm going to get dunked on if I don't do something drastic. And so his like eyes go dead and then his hands go down to his side. Like he's doing like the pencil dive that you do when you're jumping into the pool, like up. And then like, he also, I don't know, it reminds me of like what they tell you to do against a bear attack. Like if a bear is attacking you, you just go limp. Like that.
Oh, he don't just fight back. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't fight back. Don't and be just like kind of make yourself small. Yeah. Don't be interesting.
I think Ntilikina was considering international relationship between Canada and France and didn't want to start anything.
Wow. Yeah. Got so it.
He wanted to, you know, business decision internationally as well. It's not just,
it is a Wiggins dunk. So yeah, that's true.
I just love though, like how early though he gives up. Like he's still on the ground here, and then as soon as he gathers to go up, he gave up right here because he immediately starts tucking his arms.
Yeah, you know, arms go down.
Yeah, it's as soon as his arms go down, as soon as Wiggins puts his hands back, Ntilikina is like, you know what, this is gonna end badly.
Yeah, he's like, he's cocking it back.
Yeah,
right. Well, look. Tomer, do you have any other, do any other memories hit your brain of other business decisions in the past that you felt like, you know, that,
oh, getting dunked on wasn't enough?
Yeah.
Maybe y'all want more.
No. I mean, like of that you can even recall from seeing in the NBA or games past, because I feel like we always want our listeners to always be looking out for these kinds of interesting moments that we're trying to give definitions to, like making a big business decision.
I can't think of any one moment.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot. So
No, that's not like,
we told you, Tomer.
I can't think of any one moment, but I'm a big fan of those. I love when guys just admit, you know, in midair that they're just not getting this.
Is that almost, now that I think about it, what would be more satisfying to the person dunking is to be like, oh, he made a business decision.
Right.
Or is it to like, you know, flex up over the vanquished when they're on the ground after? Because I don't know, part of you be like, yeah, you already knew. You did not even want to sign up for that. And I don't, so now I'm trying to think, what's
jump
this,
with me if
ego?
You want to go viral, you know?
That's, right.
Ja would agree. I think Ja will take it both ways. But, you know, the glory of cocking back and detonating on someone seems to be pretty satisfying. I wouldn't know personally.
No, I would not.
But just like the sounds that Dan Gedzurek was making when he was dunking on me, it seemed to be sounds of great satisfaction and joy.
Oh, you felt that, huh? Love that. You're like, what?
I feel like this is probably disrespectful to give up midair. If you're the guy with you really just going back up and give up.
Yeah, kind of like a warrior code.
Yeah,
it's like bro, you came into the Coliseum. This is to death, baby. This is to death. I would have went up with you too. And if you killed me, then it's what it is. What it is.
There you go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Because if you block that shot, you're flexing on him.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah. Although it is a terrible look to be like going up and be like, oh, he's dunking it, and then be like, you know what? Arms across my chest as if I'm going down like a emergency slide on an airplane that's being evacuated.
I think that's the move. That's the business decision I want to see. Crossed arms like you're going down the slide off and coming off of the airplane.
Yeah. Or like a water slide. Yeah. It's too intense. Yeah, exactly.
Tomer, as somebody who gets to see a good deal of NBA action in person, is there a player that you've seen in person that just you would tell people like, don't talk about this person's game until you've seen them in person?
Honestly, I think post injury Kawhi has been pretty badly disrespected.
Yeah.
And I think people just, and you never know how someone's going to come off of, you know, an ACL injury. I think he's one that is so You can never speed him up. He's going to play his own game no matter what you're doing. Honestly, Steph Curry, if you just watch him, like in an arena, watch him move off the ball, damn, that guy's stamina and that guy's just cardio is through the roof. I mean, it's really insane to watch it in person because defenders have to go through screens, run through screens. It's crazy to watch, honestly. I know it's tough to pick. It's kind of whack to pick the stars, I guess. But like, just the way those guys are methodical, not sped up, playing their own game, I think is really, really fun to watch.
I think the Curry thing is really interesting because we were talking about, you know, his conditioning and how other NBA players who even attempt like some of the drills he does are just like vomiting within like 20 seconds, basically. Oh,
easily. Yeah. Yeah.
And I can like, yeah, because I mean, I actually haven't seen Steph play in person, but that is like when I hear you say that, I'm like, yeah, actually, that is something I feel like I would really want to see in person, because just reading about his fitness regime and what he does to stay in condition is enough for me to be like, that sounds about right.
He not only needs to be able to like run all that distance, like, you know, top speed, but he's doing it while trying to keep his heart rate below a certain level, which is like the level at which he knows he can shoot well. So right. Like that's just, it's a whole different level of precision that I was not aware existed prior to him.
I feel like it's one more thing. Let me throw one more thing out there.
Yeah.
I guess one player I think is like an underrated level of strong is probably like Domantas Sabonis. He doesn't look like the biggest guy. And I think like for example, when Steven Adams says that's a big guy, like that's a strong guy. That probably should catch your attention. Like, he's a guy who doesn't look super bulky, but that guy in the post is just going to back you down no matter who you are. He is so wide, strong, base, just nice, built. He's incredible.
Yeah.
He's another guy who I think his post game and his strength is not really talked about as much because you don't really see that until you see like in person, for example. So
yeah. Right.
Where Steven Adams reads as like you could put him in roles that were written for Andre the Giant and you'd be like, yeah, I mean that's about right.
For sure.
Could lift that car up with one hand. All right. Should we talk about some performances real quick?
Yeah. Let's hand out some flowers real quick.
Luka put up a 53-7-5 versus the Pistons. Started the game with 24 of his team's 30 points. Just the ball
that
dominance
box score
and
looks wild.
Precision. Like the ball dominance and ability to make that work, again, continues to be unparalleled with Luka. Yeah.
And there was also, I read a stat that he hasn't scored 50 points outside of the state of Texas.
Oh, really?
It's come against the Spurs and the Rockets like this season that he's Texas is where he goes off at the highest level. It turns out. I'm like, okay. That's big state, maybe it always feels like home to him.
Well, you saw him when he showed up in that cowboy outfit to the game and just looked very... Was that a Christmas Day game? I'm trying to remember where Luka was arriving. But he just looked like a kid who just like got in a costume and was like having the most fun.
He looked like Mike TV from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The kid who had like the cowboy guns and stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a great moment afterwards where they're talking about, it's like, hey, you know, Luka, you're not bad with your mouth. You know, you like to talk a little bit of trash. Like, what are your feelings on that? And there's this exchange, but his answer about his like love of trash talk sent just shivers down my spine just in the way he answered.
I have no problem with that. It's basketball. Gets me going for sure. I don't have no problem with that.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's almost something perverse about the look on
it
his face when he says
he went, yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Like, whoa, yeah. He just said yes, but it was, yeah, which I think, again, I love that. It just felt like something like a Batman villain would say.
His mouth said, yeah, but his eyes said, feed me, daddy, which was
never ending.
Giannis put up a 50-13 versus the Pelicans. Capped it off with a pull-up three and did it all in 30 minutes. And it was just, when he's going towards the basket and they're throwing three bodies at him and he's just matrixing himself through the time-space continuum, it's pretty cool to watch.
The three body problem.
The three body problem. That's what, yeah, that's what he solves on the regular.
Yeah. There was some wild stat. I mean, like across like the last four games, like how he's just like the most potent scorer with like the least amount of minutes. But, you know, he's coming back with a bang. I think recently he was asked, like, how do you feel? Are you better this season than last season? He's like, yeah, but y'all seeing it yet. And you're like, oh, no.
What do you say? Y'all aren't what?
He's like, you're just not seeing it yet. And yeah, you're like, mentally.
Oh, it's like that.
Yeah. I'm like, huh?
Please? Damn.
And Chris Middleton's back. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I got to hold him back. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They looked terrifying in that game. Granted, the Pelicans were banged up, but like they looked scary and like they were having fun. And then they did it to the Pacers. I mean, that there were some dunks in that game that, barring if Ja Morant didn't exist, they would be my dunks of the year from Giannis. There was one that was, it involved a bad business decision. I'll say that.
And turnover. Grayson Allen pushing it. Finding Giannis. Oh, Captain! Our Captain!
Oh my goodness, the building is buzzing right now. And what a pass.
Kawhi versus the Hawks. It's a good point about like just his economy of motion. Like there's no wasted movement. It's just always so efficient. Just directly gets to his spots, and it just like looks inevitable. And there's no other player. I heard this was true of Michael Jordan, that is like he just every part of him was incredibly strong. There's no other player where you can like see how strong their hands are the way you can with Kawhi. Like his, just when he's defending someone or when he's holding someone off, it's just wild. Like it's just like a piece of steel.
I don't know if you ever had a chance to, or if you have a chance to try to watch his shot release. Watch how the ball looks so tiny in his palm, and watch the release. It looks like he's throwing like a little tennis ball, like a normal person throwing a tennis ball. Like,
yeah,
it's weird.
He wasn't a good shooter when he came into the league because like that makes it really hard to shoot when your hands
Can I get a bigger ball, man? Come on.
Yeah. It was like I couldn't shoot a golf ball from 3-point range, but he is on point. He's shooting well, like when he has it going. He looks really good. I'm starting to believe the Clippers are gonna make some noise. And then Sacramento, there was like a University of Kentucky showdown between De'Aaron Fox and Anthony Edwards, and Sacramento won that one. De'Aaron Fox dropped 32. Malik Monk dropped 19 off the bench. So Wildcat fans were probably enjoying that one.
And Hot Cheetos fans as well.
Yeah, what was the Hot Cheetos thing?
We'll get to that.
It was Hot Fries.
It was Chester's Hot Fries. Yes, okay. Yes. Three bag. He's got a three bag problem.
Well, that brings us to the hot seat, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do a rapid fire, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Tomer Azarli, you are about to embark on the fastest-paced question and answer segment in podcast history. We call it the rapid-fire round of questioning. We're going to ask
TM,
you a question.
Trademark.
TM, trademark. We're going to ask you a question. Don't think too long. It's like a chest pass. Like, just chest pass it right back. No reactions. Like, here's a question. Okay. Boom, right back.
Okay.
And so we want it to straight out your brain. Don't give extended answers. If we start talking about some nonsense, Tomer, please keep us on track, the host. This is kind of your responsibility as the guest also in this segment, is to kind of drive it as well.
You might want to look down and notice that the seat you're sitting in just became the hot seat.
Yeah.
Registered trademark.
Yeah. Brought to you by Chester's Hot Fries.
All right. Miles, why don't you go first?
All right. Here we go. Wow. Thank you. We didn't even have to fight over that one. Shall we? Here we go. Start the clock!
My gosh.
Tomer Azarli, if you could bet on any fan base to make the in-arena challenge shots, you know, like the layup, free throws, three-pointer, half court, you know, that whole thing, which fan bases or fan base would you bet on to do that successfully?
Lakers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they've had three half-court winners this year.
Oh, that's true.
Three alone
this
year.
Three half-court winners just this year?
I think it was like 100,000, 70,000... 30,000. The amount resets every time someone makes it, right? Yeah. So like they've had three of them this year, three half court winners. Yeah, it's insane. I mean, that team has that. The Lakers should bring every one of those guys and sign them like a 10 day and see if they can hit some
shots.
We
need shooters.
Yeah, we need some lasers out there.
I mean, I already forgot about my man who drove for Uber Eats and hit that buzzer beater.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan. See, this is where we're at. And I think, and he actually got on the team from hitting a half court shot, I think, during halftime. So,
yeah.
It's Summer League. Yep.
Got in for that game, hit the shot. And then he just actually dropped off some Uber Eats for me earlier this week. Like, so
I was just waiting for you on TV. Oh, he's like, hey, let's not make a thing out of it. He's like, also, why so many Frosties from Wendy's? You're like, hey, relax, man. Why are you asking so many questions? Okay.
We were asking because the Pacers gave somebody $500 for doing.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. You're an NBA.
But it also suggests that they're just like, yeah, of course you're going to hit that. You're from Indiana. Church of basketball.
It's respectful. Minimum. If it was it a half court shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's minimum 10 G's. Easy. Come
free
on
throw, three, on. Half court shot.
Oh, they didn't make all those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disrespectful. Thank you. To give me
we got to call the UN. You know what I mean? The Human Rights Council on this.
Like, this needs to be readdressed. They need to come back, I think.
Okay. Look, give me more questions. I've only had one so far.
Wow. Okay. Tomer is really okay. Okay. So he's listening.
You fired
to the
me
show.
Up, and I've only got one question.
All right. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Tomer. We should keep this going. Jack, what's up?
Anthony Edwards recently acknowledged a 3-bag-per-day habit of hot Cheetos fries. I believe it was 21 a week. So.
Yeah.
You know, we're averaging there, but we don't know if like on Saturdays he's putting down 18 and then like three on another day. But anyway,
right.
Was or is your wildest eating habit when you were a young athlete like Anthony Edwards?
McDonald's McChickens.
How many are you putting down?
I mean, there was a McDonald's right outside our high school. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to say we were going every day, but we were going maybe like three times a week.
Yeah,
right.
Two McChickens for like $2. So I would
and
say
tell me this.
Probably five to six a week.
And was like the biggest hooper on your team, did he have the worst diet of any person on earth? Did it follow that? Because there was a trend of hooper, like people around me where I was just like, are you guys even serious about your bodies? Because you play really well, but all you eat is like ice cream.
I don't remember. I actually don't remember. I used to eat really well. Like, don't get me wrong. I used to eat a lot of home cooked meals. We used to watch a lot of what I ate. But having a McDonald's right outside your high school is just dangerous.
Yeah.
Really bad. Like, I'm talking like we walked for maybe like a minute and we got there. Like, it was right there. So,
right.
I don't know about his diet. I can't remember, honestly. I can't remember.
Yeah. No, I just feel like there's just something always unfair about like these elite athletes. You're like, yeah, what's your secret? Like, I don't know, 21 bags of Chester hot fries a week. And you're like, what?
Yeah. I remember was like a takedown piece on Jordan. It was like Jordan rules. And they're like, he just polished off a pepperoni pizza. Like, this guy doesn't take it. And it's like, actually, you're just making him seem more like a superhero, man. Like, that's unbelievable that he doesn't watch what he eats and is just like, yeah.
Tell me, you never hit up that Tommy's on Victory? Isn't that just up the street?
Dog, yeah. So I have, but it was,
that's too much.
I felt like I felt so heavy after that.
Yeah.
McChicken's at least felt relatively
it's chicken.
Light, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rather than a chili burger from Tommy's.
Yeah,
for sure.
Tommy's is just OD, man. No, that's crazy.
All right. Tomer, we really got to keep this moving, man. We can't just keep talking about obscure burger chains on Victory and Kester.
You're right.
We got to keep this segment moving. With All-Star Weekend coming up in a few weeks, you have the chance to put together an all-time three-point competition. Which four shooters from throughout NBA history are you picking?
I guess like when they were playing, I'm guessing we're talking?
Yeah, exactly.
They have to be the current age.
No. George Gervin now.
Yeah, I'd want to see Clyde Drexler. No. I guess we'll go. I mean, is it Steph, Clay, Ray, and Reggie, right?
Yeah,
Ray Allen, Reggie Miller. I feel like it's.
I mean, there are no right. There's no wrong answers, right or wrong answers, but that's powerful. Yeah, that's a good.
Take Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen. See how those guys do.
If you could add a fifth, who would you add? Sorry to augment the question like that, but just wanted to see who else you got.
The list just disappears from me after that. Maybe Kyle Korver, I guess.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Maybe JJ Redick.
I'd be interested in bringing like some of the people from the 80s that, you know, weren't shooting as much as those guys, like a Larry Bird, for instance. Have you heard of that guy, Larry Bird? He played for the Celtics for a little bit. And like, he was apparently real cocky and liked to talk trash around the 3-point contest. I think that'd be interesting to like put him out there.
Or Craig Hodges.
Craig Hodges, man.
I think so.
Jabari said Dale Ellis. Jabari said no problem.
Yeah, Dale Ellis. Yeah. Interesting. All right. You can go back in time and watch any single NBA game from throughout history. Which gam are you choosing?
Or game.
In person or on TV?
In person.
Oh, wherever you Pistons, want. Cavs, game five.
In LeBron's
2007.
Third. Yeah.
The game where he had 25 in a row and 29 of 30.
That was I just went back and watched that earlier this year. Yeah, that was it.
That was the game
that where it was like, is going to be our next two decades. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I was a LeBron fan. Then I watched that and I was like, yo, this dude is crazy. He was doing things he's never done before, like behind the back dribble to a sidestep three. Like, I'd never seen him make that move in his life. And he was hitting shots in overtime like that. So, yeah, it'd be game five, Pistons, Cavs, 2007 conference finals.
Yeah, you could like kind of see the joy. He was like just making it up as he went and was like, wow. Yeah.
Fun. And finally, Tomer, the most important question. Jack or Miles?
Oh, come on. That is tough. I'm going to say Jack because the Feed Me Daddy from Luca line earlier just...
Wow.
You're putting a run together. Oh, wow.
If it wasn't for the Feed Me Daddy line, I probably would have picked Miles. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. No, you doubled back on that after, even on the break. You're like, man, that feed down.
2023 is my year.
I panicked. When Tomer said he liked that line, I was like,
oh,
he called out.
I hadn't watched that video before, so I guess, Miles, thank you for bringing that up.
That's fine. Yeah,
no. You don't have change. You don't have justify. No, I'm not the right. You made the right call.
Wait, cool. Jack, don't badger
him. We get it.
He can also pay me a compliment. Come on now. To be so finite with the resources.
Hey,
stop that. I'm not here to relitigate what happened.
Look, greedy. Tamara, I went 0-30 before winning my first one. I think it is.
Aren't you going? Isn't this like a three-peat now?
Yeah, this is three in a row. So
undefeated
in January after being without a win. It's really the plot to Major League, you know.
Okay, so Miles has been to the mountaintop, and you know, now it's your turn, is what you're saying.
And you can kind of see it the way he like treats the guests, like kind of talks down to them. You know, it's like I'm not gonna. It's just he.
Like, I don't know, dude. Like, wait, I find out Jack's texting the guests during the recording behind my back.
Ahead of time, like coming to a financial agreement.
Tomer's like, yo, what's this 310 number, man? I got like 15 texts from this dude. Be like, yeah, Miles is kind of a weirdo.
I'm going to wipe that after. No trace of evidence.
No case.
That's right.
Hey, Tomer Azarli, thank you so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosty. He's been a fantastic guest, a fantastic time. Where can people find you, follow you, support you, and read you, all that stuff? How can they get in your world?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you guys having me. This has been a fun episode. It's cool to talk hoops and have fun, so I appreciate that. Find me on Twitter, on Instagram, TikTok, at Tomer Azarli. That's TomerAzarly. You can find my work on clutchpoints.com. I cover the Clippers, obviously, but we have a bunch of guys who cover teams around the league, but you can find me there. For the most part, I post all my stuff on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. So follow my at there.
Oh, okay. So you can find us on Twitter at Mad Boosties, MadBoosties. Our tweet of the week comes off the heels of our business decisions question. With Jack's Dan Gedzerk story in mind, we asked the listeners, you know, for the former or future pros that had them making business decisions when they squared off, and our boosties and listeners of the week were, first, Mr. Ricky Spanish tweeted, I played against several, but hell no. They gave me 5 fouls and I used all 5. So that's okay. That's a business decision. At Alan Ramich tweeted, Dario Saric. No further comment. Okay, Alan, I kind of need to know a little bit more. I mean, that you've got my interest. But make sure you follow us, like I said, at Mad Boosties on Twitter, so you can see our tweets and engage with us. And that's going to do it for us this week. We're going to be back next week because this show don't stop. All right. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Jack's a winner.
I'm a winner. This is your winner, Jack, co-host, signing off. I wear it well. Like, I've always been here, you know? Just saying things like, this is your winner, Jack.
Hey, is that Winter Jack? Yes, it is. See you later.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.